Blog Talk Radio.
Get ready to... Good evening. Come in. I just can't do it as good as E.G. Marshall. Good evening and welcome to Treehouse Old Time Radio. I'm Dale Cave from Spook Show. Here along with...
Dave Beakley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're along with the just ourselves tonight.
Yeah, it's us again. Gar is under the weather once again.
I'm so disappointed because I talked to him earlier in the day. I called him up. He was having trouble with his printer, so I called him up. We talked for a little while about printers. He was going to go out and look at a printer, and then wham, bam, thank you, man. Mr. Migraine came along, so... Some people get Mr. Microphone. You got to get some Mr. Migraine.
Yep. By the way, it was Weird Circle back in January.
Anyway. Weird Circle. Okay.
Anyway, that was just a little side note. Between Dave and I, you'll find out this Halloween. Trust me, you'll be glad you waited. Want to welcome Fog Bane and GGSI Paper. Well, wait a minute. GGSI Paper disappeared for a minute. Hopefully they'll be back.
You know what, they may have had to refresh in order to, there they are, in order to hear, sometimes you have to refresh. Yep.
Yeah. Well, anytime you're around us, you got to refresh, or refreshing.
Yeah, you know, sprinkle a day, you know. Have you had your sprinkle today?
There you go. It's kind of frightening that Dave and I are on the same wavelength as we present to you another... virtual radio drive-in. This time it's the William Powell birthday bash. He was born July 29th of 1892.
Wow. So if he were alive today, he'd definitely be dead.
Exactly.
Yes.
He was a major star at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, paired up with Myrna Loy often in 14 movies, including all the Thin Man series, or most of them, I think, as Nick and Nora, you know, those
all
characters
them, yeah.
Created by who, Dave? Dashiell Hammett.
That's right.
Dashiell Hammett always weasels his way into our show one way or another. Powell was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Actor 3 times. The Thin Man, Life with Father, probably the first movie I ever saw with William Powell. And, one of my favorites that we'll talk about, but is going to be tomorrow, the My Man Godfrey.
Yeah, and we did talk about the Life with Father, because that was again that was the one they played a lot in Cleveland on Saturday afternoons and Sunday afternoons, because it was a great family movie, and so it was easy to show and throw into the rotation for their afternoon movies on weekends. So. It's just that also was my first viewing of him, and he was, you know, a different kind of character than what we've seen on many of his characters, and actually, you know, Don Adams did a great William Powell. He did because he kind of did an impression of William Powell doing Philo Vance, and he did that as a stand-up. Even on The Tonight Show and Ed Sullivan and things like that, before he ever hit Get Smart, he was doing that. And and what he would do is the big scene where he gathered everybody in the room at the end of the movie where he would kind of single out one by one who did it by eliminating everybody who didn't do it. So.
Now, what better way to find out? I was surprised, Dave, to find that his film debut was along with John Barrymore in a 1922 silent version of Sherlock Holmes, in which Powell plays one of Professor Moriarty's henchmen, Foreman Wells. That was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, and it took him 10 years to get from the stage to the movies. I mean, it probably could have. Well, back then. You know, 10 years before it was in 20. So his first film there was in 22. And, and so it would have been like 1912, you know, so actually he was preferring the stage at that time. And plus he was honing his craft and his, his speaking, which, unlike a lot of the people from the silence as they moved into talkies, they had difficulties. He did not. He did
yeah.
not.
That's amazing. And unsurprising, a lot of his silent film appearances are lost movies, quite likely in the great MGM fire, where a lot of early
yeah.
works were lost. We'll talk about that someday. But, yeah, he quite a guy, quite a career, and we got two, and if you're good, three features for you tonight. That's how I'm presenting it anyway. one day I'm going to learn to count, you know? I'll go back to school.
Hey, counting's overrated. Counting's overrated.
It's, well, not get on a soapbox here. Let's just go on to our presentations. We got three presentations from Screen Directors Playhouse, all starring our birthday boy tonight. Love
yep.
Crazy, One Way Passage, and The Senator Was Indiscreet.
Screen Directors Playhouse, for most of the time, they did half-hour adaptions of movies. For a while, they did do 1 hour, but they switched to half-hour and never switched back again. It's interesting when you take a movie, even if it's only 60 or 70 minutes long, and turn it into a half-hour radio show, which means it's like, 22 to 23 minutes long. That takes a lot of chopping out.
Yeah, there's a lot of crafty editing into the script. But yet, Screen Directors Playhouse does a good job, I think, of putting these together.
Yes.
For, and we're sharing some tonight. Let's, as Ron Swede used to say. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I suggested we start off maybe with the one that was really more fun than any of the three there. I mean, because the other two were a bit more serious, but Love Crazy was one that was definitely absolutely hilarious if you ever saw it. And if you didn't, you'll get to hear a great version of it here.
And we might as well start there. Does we have a broadcast date?
Oh, sure. Now you ask me when I don't have it pulled up. I can do that. I can hear it. There it is. Erie House this weekend as we go down, 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 down. Scrolling.
The movie's from 1941, if that helps.
So the Screen Directors Playhouse is from August 19th of 1949.
And as Ron Swede, the ghoul, used to say, roll the film, Julio.
Oh, waiter.
Yes, sir?
I'll have some sliced tongue, a lettuce and tomato salad with Roquefort dressing, and a bottle of cold Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yes, sir. Finest beer served anywhere.
From Hollywood, Pabst Blue Ribbon, finest beer served anywhere, proudly presents... Screen Directors Playhouse, production Love Crazy, director Jack Conway, star William Powell. The Hollywood Screen Directors present A Little Love, A Little Laughter. The motion picture comedy, Love Crazy, starring William Powell. The pressure of picture making has prevented the director of Love Crazy, Mr. Jack Conway, from introducing his own film story tonight. However, our star, William Powell, won't escape the watchful eye of a screen director. As a matter of fact, our guest director has been watching him ever since 1929, when he directed Bill Powell in one of his first talking pictures, The Canary Murder Case. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the team of director and star is united again as we introduce Mr. Malcolm St. Clair.
Thank you. You know, it would make a pretty good story had I told Bill Powell 20 years ago that he'd never be an actor. But I didn't. I thought he was swell. So all I can say about his success is, I knew it all the time. Now I'm going to join the rest of you in enjoying one of Bill's most amusing roles, the part of Steve Ireland in Love Crazy. Here it is.
Once upon a time, a man named Steve Ireland lived with his wife Susan in the Winston Towers apartments. They lived in apartment 12A, and they were very, very happy. After 4 years of marriage, they still talk like this.
Darling, I love you.
And I love you.
And I love you.
Life in apartment 12A was excruciatingly sweet. And then one day, into apartment 11A moved Isabel, Steve's old girlfriend. 12A, 11A. Wow!
Why, it's Steve Ireland!
Isabel. Isabel Grayson. Well, come on in and share my elevator. You're going down?
Yes. Oh, Steve, I haven't seen you since you broke my heart and married the other woman. You're looking scrumptious.
Really? I wasn't even trying.
What are you doing here?
I live here.
Then we're neighbors. I just moved in. Where's your apartment?
12A.
I'm right below you, 11A.
Oh, brother.
Remember that if you ever want to borrow a cup of sugar. Sugar.
Oh, got your package.
Oh, thanks, Stevie boy. It's just some stockings I'm taking out to exchange. Want to come with Mama?
Oh, Mama better keep her meat hooks off Stevie boy. You know, I'm still married, kiddo. 4 years. Today's the anniversary.
Happy?
Deliriously. I'm going out to buy Susan a gift for the great occasion. Ooh.
Ah, elevator trouble.
Well, I never did this before. Hey, looks like we're jammed.
What do we do now, lower the lifeboats?
Hey, look, look, there's a hatch right there at the top of this thing. We're only a couple of feet below the floor. If we climb up, all we have to do is open the outside doors and crawl out.
Through the top?
Yeah, here. Look, I'll open the hatch. Now, if you can stand on my shoulders.
Well, here, put my package in your pocket.
Okay, I'll give you a boost.
Oh, well, I'd better take my shoes off. I don't want to stab you to death.
Oh, yeah, yeah, give them here. I never did look good in footprints. Now, oopsie daisy.
No, take it easy now.
Can you get those doors open?
I think so. Give me a push. I'm all right. Want a hand, Steve?
Would you offer a hand to Climo, the human fly?
Here I come.
Stevie boy, the human fly just ripped his pants.
Well, I'm a fine mess. Covered with grease, pants all torn. Great way to launch an anniversary evening.
Well, just tell your wife you were bitten by a mad dog.
Say, stop snarling. All my other clothes are in the cleaners. What'll I do?
Well, you might start by going back to your apartment.
Very well, I will. Goodbye, Isabel.
Oh, Steve.
What?
Don't look now, but your slip is showing.
Tattletale.
Mr. Ireland.
Hiya, Professor Klugel. I'm in a rush,
But, Mr. Ireland, what happened to you?
I was bitten by a mad elevator.
What did you do to make it mad?
Excuse me, Professor. That dopey professor, always snooping around.
Stephen, you're back. Stephen, darling, what's happened?
The elevator jammed.
Oh, good heavens, you're a mess. Why, you haven't looked like this since you used to date Isabel Grayson.
Well, as a matter of fact, I met Isabel in the elevator.
Stephen.
Uh-huh. She's living here in the building.
You look like you renewed acquaintances in a mixmaster.
Well, you see, the elevator jammed.
It never jammed before.
Well, it did this time, and there we were. Yes?
Oh, Mr. Ireland.
Who is it?
Oh, it's the bellboy, dear.
Mr. Ireland, Miss Isabel Grayson asked me to ask you if she could have her shoes back.
Shoes?
Her shoes?
Oh, yes, sure. Right here in my pocket. There you are. Well, Susan, as I was saying, there we were in this jammed elevator.
Mm-hmm, and you both took off your shoes and played toesies.
No, darling, you don't understand. Her shoes were in my pocket.
Oh,
they were. Where were her feet?
On my head.
On our anniversary?
No, on my head. You see...
Pardon me, Mr. Ireland.
Oh, you still here?
Yeah, Miss Grayson says she also wants her stockings back.
Stockings? Oh, sure, right in my pocket.
Go on, dear. The elevator was jammed, and there you were.
And Mr. Ireland, Miss Grayson also says...
Oh, no.
But Mrs. Ireland...
If you say what I think you're going to say, so help me, I'll murder him.
Miss Grayson also says thanks.
You know, for a minute, you even had me scared.
Well, thanks, Mr. Ireland. Bye.
Now, if you'll hand me my coat, Mr. Ireland, I'll thank you and say goodbye, too.
Oh, Susan, you don't understand.
I don't want to be unfair about this, Stephen. I'm going out for a walk and think it over.
But that's silly.
And do something about those pants.
Oh, for... Susan! Steve!
Steve, the terrace come out of your terrace.
Isabel. She got me into this mess. She's going to get me out of it.
Here I am, lover boy, down here. How's the little woman?
Miserable, thanks to you. Isabel, I've got to get out to buy a gift for Susan, and all I've got to wear are these torn pants.
Oh, I see a needle and thread coming into my life.
Here, I'll throw them down to you. And hurry.
Look, chum, when I sew you up for another woman, I'll take my own sweet time.
Hello?
Isabel, this is Steve.
How's the pantsless wonder?
Dying by inches. You've had them more than an hour.
If you don't stop rushing me, I'm going to sew sandpaper into the seat.
But Susan will be back soon, and I haven't even bought her an anniversary present.
You talk about Susan while I sit here slaving so you can go around showing off, wearing pants.
Isabel! Isabel! Oh, bellboy. Gotta get a bellboy. Bellboy! Where's the bellboy?
Mr. Ireland.
Oh, hiya, Professor Klugel. Is there a bellboy in the house?
Mr. Ireland, you forgot your pants.
I did not. These, my dear professor, are invisible pants.
Invisible pants? On you, they look good.
Thank you, professor.
Thank you, Mr. Ireland.
Oh, bellboy.
You calling me Mr. Ireland?
Yeah, look. You've got to help me. I'm desperate.
Oh, sure, Mr. Ireland.
Look, you've got to buy a present for my wife, an anniversary gift. I don't care what it is, just use your own taste. But get one and get it fast. Oh, and if my wife's here, for goodness sake, don't let her know that you bought it. Just cover it up some way when you give it to me.
Right, Mr. Ireland. Whew.
Hello?
This is Bertha, the sewing machine girl. Your pants are ready, gorgeous. I'll bring them right up. Bye.
No.
Steve, darling, I'm back.
Oh, brother.
Oh, Steve, I've been so silly. Please forgive me, darling.
Oh, well, why, Susan, forgive you for what?
For doubting your word. Tonight of all times, our anniversary night.
Oh, and is it going to be a Lulu?
Steve, here are your...
Sorry, but we don't want any.
Who was it, dear?
Oh, Fuller Brush Man.
Oh.
Yeah, I just gave him a taste of his own medicine. Quick brush.
Oh, I'll get it, dear.
Hi. Here are your husband's pants.
Oh. What?
Oh, Susan. Now, Susan.
Oh, Stephen.
Susan.
Oh.
Isabel. Oh. Tell her what happened.
Don't be silly. It's your anniversary. 99.
Susie, darling, look, I swear I haven't set foot out of the apartment since you left.
Oh, please don't lie to me, Stephen.
Honest, darling, I've never lied to you.
Say, Mr. Ireland, it's me, Joe the bellboy.
You didn't leave the apartment?
Not for a second.
Mr. Ireland, this parcel.
Go away, get lost.
But you just left it in the elevator.
Oh!
Oh, please, Susan, don't cry. Look, Susan, it's for you. It's your anniversary present.
I don't want it.
No, here. I'll open it. What did you buy, Joe?
I never did have much taste, Mr. Ireland.
Well, this is a fine time to tell me.
It's a cushion. A nice purple satin cushion with a motto on it.
Oh, good Lord. Look, dear. Isn't it lovely?
Oh, it's hideous.
See, there's writing on it.
Yeah, go ahead, Susan. Read it.
Bless our happy home.
Bless our happy, happy home.
listening to the Screen Directors Playhouse production of Love Crazy, starring William Powell and introduced by screen director Malcolm St. Clair.
That's right, and we'll return to part two, or the second reel of our movie tonight. Love Crazy.
Amazingly funny story. Yeah, you don't think of William Powell as being really in comic movies, but boy, he's, and I tell you what, to see him do it on film is even more. I mean, this guy is hanging on trees and everything else in the film. It's just absolutely amazing. Now, the neat thing about this, this was originally a film he did do with Myrna Loy. I think it's very nice that they got someone to sound very close to being Myrna Loy in this, along with him.
Yep. And if they were going to cram a 60, 70-minute movie into a half-hour show, these are good actors to do so. If you notice the rapid pace of the script.
Yep, yep. Of course, being a comedy is better to be faster than slower. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with the other two shows. But yeah, this is working out great. Very fast-paced, very snappy, and a very funny story.
Yes. Love Crazy from Screen Directors Playhouse. Let's wrap it up. Because we got a whole lot of radio, don't we?
We got a whole lot of radio, yes.
And here's some of it with the conclusion of Love Crazy. Let's see this poor guy get out of this one.
You are in New York City. The big luxury liner with your friends aboard has just pulled away from the dock. You, envious, hot, and excited from waving farewells, walk out into Manhattan's blistering heat. Someday you're going to take an ocean trip, but right now you'd settle for a... Say, wait a minute. What's that little blue sign across the street? Oh, brother. Pabst Blue Ribbon. Finest beer served. Anywhere. Yes, during these hot August days, you're just one of millions of men all over America to whom that Pabst Blue Ribbon sign means welcome relief. For Pabst Blue Ribbon does something more than quench your thirst. It gives you taste. Blue Ribbon taste. The kind of taste you can't get anywhere else in the world except in that Pabst Blue Ribbon bottle. And, fortunately, you can get that Blue Ribbon bottle all over the world. Yes, you hear it everywhere, in New York and New Orleans and Newport and Nashville. Pabst Blue Ribbon. Finest beer served. Anywhere. Your taste will tell you why. Now, back to the Screen Directors Playhouse production of Love Crazy, starring William Powell.
Susan, will you stop packing that suitcase for a minute and listen to me?
I will not. I'm leaving you, Stephen, for good.
Believe me, Susan.
I wanted to believe you with all my heart, but ever since Isabel Grayson came back into your life, you've told nothing but lies. That ridiculous story about the elevator getting stuck.
But,
and your word that you hadn't left the apartment, and her coming up here with your...
Susie,
your...
I have not told you one single lie.
You see? There you go again.
I love you, baby.
There's no such thing as a marriage based on deceit, Stephen. I'm getting a divorce.
Oh, Susan, please. I'll raise your allowance.
Ha. Pat. Well, Stephen, have you any brilliant last words?
I refuse to talk until I see my lawyer. Well, and that's it, George. Just because of that silly misunderstanding, Susan's going to divorce me.
Well, Steve, do you want me to advise you as your friend or as your lawyer?
What's the difference?
Oh, about $1,000.
Let's try the friendly approach.
All right, Steve. Move into an apartment house without elevators.
Yeah, that's fine. What do I get if I pay money?
Good advice.
I'll pay.
Next time, be more careful.
But there wasn't anything to be careful about, George. I love Susan. You've got to stop this divorce.
Well, if she wants to file suit, Steve, there's nothing we can do about it.
That's what's driving me crazy.
Well, that would do it.
What?
If you were crazy, Susan couldn't divorce you for 5 years.
No.
Of course, that's ridiculous.
Well, yes, ridiculous. Imagine me crazy.
That's very amusing.
George.
Huh?
Supposing I was just to pretend to be crazy.
Well, in that case, it would take a postponement of at least 30 days to find out whether you really were crazy.
Ah, and that'd give me time enough to convince Susan that she's making a mistake. I'll do it.
Do what?
Pretend I'm crazy. It can't be so hard. Any idiot can do it.
Well, I tell you, we'll, you have to have witnesses, you know.
I'll get him. Starting with Professor Klugel.
Well, who's he?
Ah, he's an old crackpot who lives across the hall there. He thinks I'm half nuts anyway.
Ah, Mr. Ireland.
Where's your parachute?
Parachute?
Ha-ha! There you are, Alexander.
Alexander? Mr. Ireland, I don't see nobody.
There he is. Standing right in front of you. Alexander, you insulted me once. Now take it back.
No, no, don't move, or I'll shoot.
But, Mr. Ireland, I gotta go now.
Don't go over that.
All right, Alexander. Take it back. Ah, so you won't take it back.
Then take this. Bang.
Mr. Ireland.
He's dead. Well, Professor, what do you think of that?
You know, I think he was crazy not to take it back. Good night, Mr. Ireland.
Professor Klugel, where are you going?
Oh, that's right. You came to see me.
Good night, Professor.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ireland.
Here we go gathering nuts in bay, nuts in bay, nuts in bay.
Mr. Ireland.
I'm a squirrel and you're a girl, and all the world's a great big world. Here we go gathering nuts in bay, nuts in bay.
And so, Mrs. Ireland, in view of the evidence submitted by Mr. Ireland's counsel, this court feels that your husband's mental state is doubtful. I wish to investigate the case for a period of 30 days.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Susan.
Why, you fraud. You're not crazy. You're crazy.
I have only one statement to make.
Yes? All right. If you want to be crazy, you can be good and crazy.
Now, see here, Mrs. Ireland.
Your Honor, isn't there such a thing as a lunacy commission to decide cases of this sort?
Yes. You can ask for a ruling by the commission. It has the power to declare a person legally insane.
Now, wait a minute. George.
Lunacy, schmoonacy. What do you care, Steve? You've got your 30 days and you haven't got anything to fear from the commission.
I haven't.
Well, of course not. You're sane, aren't you?
Right. Bring on the lunacy commission.
My name is Dr. Pelgrim, Mr. Ireland. The head of the Lunacy Commission will be here in just a minute. Now, in the meantime, would you mind answering a few questions?
Well, you understand this is just a formality. I'm perfectly normal.
Of course. Now, do you...
No, I don't have bad dreams. I don't hear voices. I don't think I'm being followed. Anything else?
Well, yes. I'd like... Oh, well, here's the chairman of the commission now.
Well, how do you do, Doctor?
Mr. Ireland. I've been expecting you. Tell me, how is poor Alexander getting along?
Now, Professor, that was just a little joke.
Wearing any invisible pants lately?
Professor, I know what you're thinking.
Are you familiar with this case, Professor?
Ach, yeah. In the immortal words of Dr. Sigmund Freud, he is nutty as a fruitcake. Please ask his wife to step in.
Yes, this is ridiculous. There's a perfectly logical explanation of my behavior if you'd only listen to me.
Yes, Professor Klugel?
Mrs. Ireland, I'm afraid we have bad news for you. We must declare your husband legally insane.
Will you listen to me?
And you, Mr. Ireland, will be put in your wife's custody for a period of 5 years.
My custody?
There is nothing... Oh, my wife's custody? Well, that's different. Who's loony now, dear?
That would be a much nicer arrangement than sending him to some kind of mental institution.
Oh, you mean I can have him locked up?
Whenever you wish.
So Susan, no. You wouldn't.
You might fool him, Steve Ireland, but you're not fooling me. Doctor, get the straitjacket.
Oh, no. No, you don't.
Oh, no, please, Mr. Ireland, you must resign yourself.
You can resign yourself to a punch and a kisser. See you later, Professor.
You know something, Mrs. Ireland? He hit me.
You know something, Professor? You're screwier than he is. Steve, what in the world is...
Isabel, I want a word with you.
You look frantic.
Frantic? They think I'm a raving maniac.
They do? Why?
Because I had an argument with my wife.
Well, that's a reasonable explanation.
And it's all your fault. Because of you, my wife left me, and I've been declared legally wacky.
Well, that's life, kid. The bitter with the sweet, the good with the bad.
Listen, my fine, blown, corncob philosopher, we're going to find Susan, you and I, and you're going to tell her everything that's happened, the whole story. Maybe she'll believe you.
Oh, sure. We're palsies, your wife and I.
Come on, stop arguing.
You know, Steve, I kind of hate to leave this elevator. It has so many touching memories.
Isabel, stop babbling. Come on, we've got to find Susan.
Well, we don't have far to look. Here she comes now.
Hello, Stephen. I see you haven't wasted much time.
Oh, Susan, you've come home.
Oh, just to pick up the rest of my things. You needn't worry about your sudden attack of insanity any longer. I explained the whole thing to the professor and our divorce is going through.
Susan, Isabel and I have some explaining to do, haven't we, Isabel?
You said a mouthful, Buster.
If you kindly leave the elevator, I'd like to go up.
I'm not leaving until you hear our side of the story.
Very well.
Listen, Mrs. Ireland, I admit that things look a bit sketchy, but Steve's been a model husband.
There, see?
It all happened because the elevator jammed.
I've been riding this elevator for 4 years, and it's never jammed yet.
Listen, lady, nobody's trying to steal your spouse. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't have him on a bet.
You see, dear, she wouldn't have me on a... Oh, you wouldn't, huh?
Well, as far as that goes, I'll have you know that Steve has some very fine qualities. Well,
certainly I have.
Oh, shut up.
Well, you can have him, Mr. Jerk.
He isn't either a jerk.
Certainly not.
Will you keep your big yap shut?
The whole thing was perfectly innocent. The elevator jammed.
That's impossible. These elevators never jam. They never jam.
I suppose we're just stopping for a hamburger.
This is the last laugh I've always dreamed about.
Stephen, I was wrong.
Is this proof in us?
Oh, I'm so ashamed of myself.
Darling, I love you. Please come home, huh?
I should have known. And Isabel, I owe you an apology.
Honest Isabel, that's me.
Steve, hurry up and kiss her. Or stop because my shoe's wedged in the elevator door.
Good, keep it there.
What'd you say, Dick?
I said honesty's always the best policy. Stand by to be kissed.
Oh, darling.
You see there? The elevator's all right again, just like us.
Well, it might be all right with you, but my shoe just fell down the elevator shaft.
Her shoe? Stephen, how did that...
Shh! Don't ask questions, dear. Just trust your husband. Oh, brother.
You have just heard the last act of Love Crazy. In a moment, our star William Powell and screen director Malcolm St. Clair will return to the microphone. If you were to win one of those radio contests where the prize is a trip to Hollywood with a chance to visit the studios and the homes of movie stars, well, you'd get the surprise of your life. You'd find that most of the picture people, even the glamorous stars, lead modest, simple lives just like you and me. On these hot summer weekends, for instance, the chances are you'd find them out in the backyard under a shady tree with their neighbors and friends, playing gin rummy or just chatting over bottles of cold Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. Everything in perfect taste. Blue Ribbon taste. And it's that Blue Ribbon taste that makes this internationally famous beer so popular, not only here in Hollywood, but all over America. Yes, you hear it everywhere. In North Carolina's picturesque mountain resorts. In Los Angeles' popular eating places. In Wyoming's famous national parks. Pabst Blue Ribbon. Finest beer served anywhere. Your taste will tell you why. Next week on Screen Directors Playhouse, Pabst Blue Ribbon presents Appointment for Love, starring Charles Boyer with Gail Storm.
That was...
Love Crazy was presented by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Great Sinner, starring Gregory Peck, Ava Gardner, and Melvin Douglas. William Powell also appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, who soon will release Madame Bovary, starring Jennifer Jones, James Mason, and Van Heflin. Included in tonight's cast were Mary Shipp as Susan Ireland, Gloria Blondell as Isabel Grayson, and Hans Conried, Gil Stratton, Herbert Rawlinson, Bill Johnstone, and Dan Ritz. Love Crazy was adapted for radio by Richard Allen Simmons, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Screen Directors Playhouse was produced by Howard Wiley, with dramatic direction by Bill Karn. Portions of tonight's broadcast were transcribed. Listen again next week when Pabst Blue Ribbon presents...
Screen Directors Playhouse, production Appointment for Love, director William Sighter, star Charles Boyer.
Screen Directors Playhouse is brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Newark, New Jersey, and Peoria, Illinois, and sent your way with the best wishes of the Pabst Blue Ribbon dealers from coast to coast. James Wallington speaking.
There you go, a fine presentation from Screen Directors Playhouse, and two more to come.
Very fun story here. You know, Dale, something I forgot to mention, I was going to mention at the break, is we're getting all these Pabst Blue Ribbon commercials. Of course, they sponsored Screen Directors Playhouse. They also were a sponsor of The New Adventures of the Thin Man, which he did not play on radio, but he played Nick Charles, of course, in the six Thin Man movies. Radio, the Pabst Blue Ribbon also sponsored The Adventures of the New Thin Man.
That's amazing. I'll tell you what, I'm liking him more and more as an actor and more as I read about him. Again, a lot of people felt that he was very kind. Even his voice had a kindliness to it, which made it easy for him to transition from the silence into soundies.
Yeah, I was looking for here. There was a really fun thing he said about always remaining. Everybody asked him how he stayed so thin. And when he asked to describe his method for keeping so fit and trim, he said, I give my swimming pool a long and piercing look every morning. I think a lot about tennis and talk a good deal about golf. I find it keeps fit best by worrying about what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do next.
He
says, I highly recommend it. Worrying, it's much more effective than dieting. There you go.
Yes.
That was his theory as to why he was able to stay so fit and trim.
Let me be the example of a perfect diet. Observe me for 30 days, and whatever I do, don't do that. There you go.
Yep.
By the way, CW mentioned Moose Tracks. You know they do make a no-sugar-added Moose Tracks ice cream.
They do. I've had that before. It's really not bad at all.
No, it isn't. It isn't. Kind of self-defeating when you pour the chocolate syrup on it, though.
Well, it is, but, you know, hey, you got to do what you got to do, you know?
Was it you that said ice cream is made from a bean, like chocolate? Which is a plant, and therefore that is a salad.
Right, you can have that and still be having your salad. So therefore, you know, hey, what can I say?
Yep. What? No moral?
Okay. Not on the story like this.
The master is not here anyway.
or there could be one. Let's see if we. If we crank up the sound, I think we have one possibly for this one.
I'm the Fly. Erie House Radio probably presents a garrulous moral of the story.
Yes, apologies to Gar. You don't have to be crazy to be married, but this show certainly proved that it doesn't hurt. There you go. There you go. Now go wash your hands. Yes. All right.
While being...
Hey, we got two more. I know good old Bob said he was half an hour late because he slept in, but you know what? We still have two tales to go. So, Bob, we got two more coming up for you. We got one right now. Where shall we go? Where shall we go?
Well, there's only one way that I can think, Dave, and that's one-way passage.
Ah.
Wonderful it's story. A radio adaptation of a movie that he starred in. When? I don't know. It's a talkie, so I got to scroll down a little bit here. 1932, so an early role. He plays the role of Dan Hardesty.
Yep. And it came to Screen Directors Playhouse on December 30th of 1949.
Here's part one.
From Hollywood, the Screen Directors Playhouse. Screen Directors Playhouse, star William Powell, production One Way Passage, director Tay Garnett. The Hollywood Screen Directors present A Prelude to Eternity, the motion picture drama One Way Passage, starring William Powell in his original role of Dan Hardesty, with Peggy Dow as Joan.
I'm a doctor, therefore a sort of scientist, I suppose. And science isn't supposed to be very sentimental or to believe in the kind of happy ending that this story has. Here it is. Make of it what you will. I've got to believe in it. I saw it happen. I suppose as Joan Ames's doctor, I should have kept her away from the excitement of places like the Bar of All Nations back there in Shanghai. But I couldn't bring myself to spoil her wistful fun. Joan was trying so very hard to pack a lot of living into so short a time. Joan had heard the worldly wise man at her elbow order...
Paradise cocktail, please.
She ordered the same, and reaching to pick it up, jostled the man at her elbow.
Oh,
hey,
dear,
what the dickens you...
I'm terribly sorry.
Well, I'm so glad.
It seems I slipped.
We all slip now and then.
But I've spilled your drink for you.
We both have some left in our glasses.
Yes, a few drops. Always the most precious.
And I can't imagine a more appropriate time to drink the last few drops of a paradise cocktail. Here's hoping you get everything your heart desires.
I've got it.
Drink. Thank you.
Me too.
My name's Dan.
Mine's Joan.
Hello, Joan.
Hello, Dan. Goodbye, Dan.
Oh, no. That sounds too ruthless.
I'm sailing tomorrow.
Oh, Honolulu?
And then on to San Francisco.
Oh. Well, luck allowed us a little time together anyhow.
It's hail and farewell, Dan.
Listen. Auf Wiedersehen.
That means goodbye, doesn't it?
Joan?
Yes?
Break your glass.
Why?
Do it.
All right.
Now, I break mine. Now, put the stem of your glass across the stem of my glass so it makes a letter X.
Why?
Please.
All right. There. Now, what does it mean?
Well, perhaps X marks the spot where one rare, bright moment was captured.
Perhaps.
Goodbye, Joan. Bon voyage and auf Wiedersehen. Come in.
You rang for ice water, sir?
Yes. Let's put it down on the... Steve. Steve Connell.
Don't reach for your gun, Dan.
You know I don't carry a gun, Steve.
It's too bad you were carrying one that night in San Francisco.
That was different. Someone murdered my best friend. And the law didn't do anything about it.
So you took the law into your own hands.
I'm not sorry.
But you're coming back to San Quentin with me, Dan.
I'm ready.
You killed a man. You gotta pay.
I said I'm ready.
The boat leaves for San Francisco in 1 hour via Honolulu.
Honolulu.
To San Francisco, to San Quentin.
And the death house. Well, I'm still ready, Steve.
Now we're sailing in 10 minutes, Dan.
Yeah, I wouldn't lean against that rail if I were you, Steve.
Now, don't get gray hairs about me.
Okay, but if that brass pin comes out of that swinging rail, it'll drop you right in the drink.
And that would break you all up.
Candidly, no.
Well, it won't happen. They broke three of my pals the first time you escaped. It isn't going to happen to me. As a matter of fact...
Look out, Steve, there goes the rail!
Hey, sailor, go on me. Hey!
Now, how to swim for it.
Dan.
Swim for it.
Dan, come back.
Yeah, try to catch me.
You pushed me in.
So long, flatfoot.
I can't swim, Dan, help.
You're lying to me.
No, Dan, quick, I can't swim, help.
Oh, okay, Steve. I'm a fool, but I'll get you out.
Look, Dr. Duncan, he's got him. Dan's got him.
Now, take it easy, Joan, please.
Oh, Dan got him just as he was going down. Oh, good for you, Dan. Nice going. There, they've thrown him alive.
That's all there is to it, Joan. Nothing to get excited about.
No, it's all right.
Are you all right? Joan.
Just a little tired. Take me to my stateroom, Doctor. Will you? Thank you, Doctor. I feel much better now.
I've told you, Joan, you must not get excited. You're cutting your months to weeks and your weeks to days.
And my days to hours. But if I remain quietly here in my stateroom and deny myself even the mildest pleasures, I may live to see San Francisco again. Is that it?
You're putting it rather cruelly.
Oh, no. Because I'm going to crowd a lifetime of intense, beautiful happiness into the short time I have left. Even if it is only for a few hours, I mean to have all the living I can lay my hands on. And now, Doctor, I want to find Dan. I want to see if he's all right.
Say, Dan, what is that you're drinking? Perfume?
That's a paradise cocktail, Steve. Half gasoline and half nitric acid.
Oh, a tough guy, huh?
If I was a tough guy, I'd have let you drown today.
No, I admit you didn't have to save my life. If you let me drown, you'd be a free man now. I appreciate it.
Well, that's all right. I might ask you a favor sometime.
Oh, yeah? What kind of a favor?
I don't know yet. Oh, will you excuse me, Steve? I just noticed a friend of mine sitting all by herself at a table. I'll see you later, Mr. Connell. Hello, Joan.
Dan, hello again. Please sit down.
Yeah, perhaps I'd better. This is my third Paradise cocktail.
This is my first today.
Ah, a convert.
Shall we say, his luck?
And a long life?
Long enough.
Here's to us, Joan. The only us on Earth. Here's to it, huh?
There you go again.
Break yours, too. And cross the stems. That's it.
X marks the spot where another lovely moment was captured.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, what is it?
Nothing. I'm just very tired, Dan. And very happy.
Well, thanks. I'll take you to your stateroom.
You won't fall overboard again when you're alone, will you?
Oh, not now. I've got too much to lose.
Good. Because it'll be such fun going ashore at Honolulu. Just you and I.
Oh, yes.
Don't you want to?
Indeed, I do, Joan, but... Well, I'll have to get rid of Steve.
Steve?
Yeah, my partner. He wants me to stay in our stateroom and work while the ship is docked at Honolulu.
Let me talk to him.
Oh, no. Let me.
Well, here's my stateroom, Dan.
Until tomorrow, Joan. Auf Wiedersehen.
You sure get around, Dan, even on shipboard. Where you been all these days? In the smokestack?
Steve.
Hmm?
We dock in Honolulu tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll have to handcuff you to me, you know.
Not tomorrow, Steve.
Anytime we're in port.
Except tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going ashore without you.
You gonna make trouble?
Oh, put the gun away, Steve. You wouldn't shoot.
You just don't know me, Dan.
Steve.
Hmm?
This girl you've seen me with, she's going ashore tomorrow. I want to be alone with her, just for a little, Steve. What do you say?
You just had to save my life, didn't you?
You owe me that, Steve. And I'm going to hold you to it.
All right, Dan.
Thanks.
Remember your manners, Dan. Thanks, sucker.
I'd never seen Joan so radiant as she went down the gangplank when we docked at Honolulu. And I'd been her doctor for a long time. That young fellow she called Dan was with her. And if he was that good for her, he deserved to be with her.
I'd be content to stay on this lovely, lonely beach the rest of my life.
Would you, Joan?
Forever.
Joan, would you be content to spend the rest of your life with me?
Oh, very content, darling.
Even in some very far-off, isolated place?
Anywhere and forever.
Darling, that man with me, Steve, he's...
Yes?
Well, he wants me to go to San Francisco with him, but I can't do that. I'm going somewhere else, alone. But wherever I am, wherever you are, I'll send for you.
Oh, no, dear, you won't send for me.
Why not?
Because I'm going with you.
No, Joan, that's impossible.
But I've made up my mind.
Well, then, there's something that you've got to know.
May I have a cigarette, please?
Of course.
Thank you.
Light.
How far that little matchstick throws its beams. So shines a good deed in a naughty world. Or anyhow, something like that. Or maybe I burn my candle at both ends. It will not last the night. But ah, my foes and ah, my friends, it gives a lovely light.
Edna St. Vincent Millay. I'm no dope.
No.
I know this, too. It goes, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways.
No.
What's the matter?
I know that, too. And I know how it ends.
I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life.
All my life.
And if God choose...
I shall but love thee better after death. You see, Dan, I know it, too.
Oh, Joan. Joan, dearest, what is it?
It is true, Dan. Oh, say it's true.
And that I love you, dearest.
And that if God choose...
Yes, I shall but love thee better after death.
Hey, which is coming sooner than we all think. So, what a story building here.
Well, what a contrast from his last, you know, story that just shows you the versatility of this man that you never really think of when you think of William Powell.
Yeah, as someone on the run from the law, that's unusual for the type of characters he played. Quite a melodrama building here. I sense that maybe some... A box of tissues should be at hand for the end of this one. But who knows?
Yep. You got to be careful of those one-way streets. There's one-way passages. Yes, that too.
Yeah, even the title suggests maybe we'll see. We'll see. This is another great presentation from Screen Directors Playhouse of a film starring our birthday boy, William Powell.
Yep. Any other quickies? You know what I had mentioned to Dale earlier? He must have been something else because he was married to a time for Carol Lombard was engaged. And he was engaged. We won't go as far as that, but was engaged to Jean Harlow. And he actually purchased a 150-carat sapphire engagement ring for $20,000 and presented it to her at Christmas of 1936.
Wow, and, if only we had the Garculator.
Yeah. You know what? I'll have to figure that out in between there. So he spent the $20,000 right there. They were in a relationship for 2 years before her death and paid for a funeral costing $30,000. That's $50,000 right there. And for many years, Powell made sure fresh flowers were always present at her grave. So
talk about a melodrama. I'm telling you, get the tissues ready as we wrap up. One Way Passage.
Why not?
From Screen Directors Playhouse.
Why are you stopping the car?
You must go back to the ship alone.
But what about you?
I can't go back, Joan.
Oh, Dan.
Oh, my dear. Oh. That's right. Close your eyes. Well, let me hold you close. Joan, you see, you don't know who I really am or what I am. I'm an escaped convict, condemned to die, to hang. Well, now you know. You see, Joan, what's the matter? Joan! She's fainted. I've got to take her back to the ship.
You're listening to the Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of One Way Passage, starring William Powell in his original role of Dan Hardesty, with Peggy Dow as Joan. For the past 12 months, we of the Screen Directors Playhouse have taken pride in bringing you the very finest in dramatic entertainment. We hope that our record of reuniting fine motion picture stories with their original stars and directors has added much to your listening enjoyment. Now we would like to tell you of greater entertainment to come through your acceptance of our program. Beginning next Friday night, at a time 1 hour earlier, Screen Directors Playhouse becomes associated with one of the greatest names in the entertainment world, RCA Victor. It will be our pleasure on future Fridays to present such great stars and film stories as Claudette Colbert in Tomorrow is Forever, Cary Grant in Mr. Lucky, and Ginger Rogers in It Had to Be You. So remember, next Friday night, 1 hour earlier, when Screen Directors Playhouse presents Jimmy Stewart starring in Magic Town. Now, back to the second act of One Way Passage, starring William Powell.
Joan Ames was deathly pale and still when Dan Hardesty carried her aboard ship that evening. Together, we took her to her stateroom. For a day and a half, it was touch and go with Joan.
Dan stayed with us or haunted her door for 30 hours without any sleep. And then when she was momentarily out of danger, I asked to talk to Dan in my stateroom.
Is she going to be all right, Doctor?
Yes, for the present.
I didn't know. I understand now everything she said.
She survived this attack. She won't survive another. Any excitement, any shock would surely kill her.
But a shock is coming. And through me. I tried to tell her when we were ashore, but she didn't hear me. She'd fainted. She still has to find out that when I get to the States, I'm going to be hanged, Doctor.
Great Scott.
For murder.
Wait, you can't tell her that. That would kill her.
And she'll never know, I promise you.
The Golden Gate, Dan. Isn't it lovely?
San Francisco. Yeah, we'll be in very soon now.
Yes. Oh, it is lovely.
It's ugly.
San Francisco? What's that?
Oh, no. No, of course not. I mean that pile of stone there on the North Shore.
What is it? A fort?
A San Quentin prison.
Oh, well, I don't like it. Let's talk about nice things, like being together in San Francisco.
Well, I'm afraid I'll have to go to Mexico first on business.
Well, all right. I'll meet you in Mexico.
Joan.
Acapulco, New Year's Eve. How's that?
Well, a lot can happen before then.
Say you'll meet me in Acapulco, New Year's Eve.
All right.
Not enthusiastic enough. You'll have to take me down to the ship's bar and seal the deal with a toast.
A final toast.
Come on, Dan.
Well, Joan, to Acapulco on New Year's Eve.
We have a rendezvous, darling. Acapulco.
New Year's Eve. Now yours, Joan. Across the stems. X marks the spot where a lovely moment was captured. How do I love thee?
Let me count the ways.
Okay, darling.
Okay, darling.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Ready, Dan?
Oh. Yes, Steve.
We're docking.
I've some final packing to do, Joan. Be seeing you.
Don't forget.
Coming, Steve. Coming.
And if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death.
I stood beside Joan, supporting her lightly as we awaited our turn at the gangplank. Joan kept straining and craning to see Dan, and then all at once she spied him.
There he is, Dr. Duncan. I just want to wave goodbye once more. Dan!
Joan! Joan,
Dan!
Take it easy. Relax.
Oh, dear, he doesn't hear me. Dan! Doctor!
Are you all right?
He's handcuffed. He's handcuffed to that man, Steve.
Well, I didn't tell you, but you see, Dan happens to be a detective.
Why didn't you tell me?
Well, I was...
Well, why didn't he tell me?
Joan, you're exciting yourself.
Oh, it's the other way around, isn't it? Steve is a detective. He's taking Dan away.
Please, Joan.
I remember now. The way he looked at San Quentin. With death in his eyes. He's going to die. Dan!
Joan! Joan, come back!
Dan, wait!
Hold it, Steve.
You want to see her?
Hide the handcuffs. Stand close and pull down your sleeve.
Dan! Dan, darling!
Joan. Not Joan. We said goodbye. We'll meet again.
Oh, I know. But I saw you from the deck.
Joan, you shouldn't have done this.
I had to. I wanted to say goodbye.
But we said goodbye.
I wanted to say it again. Oh, goodbye, Dan.
Goodbye, Joan.
I'll be seeing you.
Let's go, Dan.
Take care of yourself. Oh, Dan!
From the deck, I saw Joan turn half about, fall to her knees.
And then the crowd gathered about her, and I dashed down the gangplank to be at her side. Will someone be good enough to call an ambulance? She's dead. Remember not, O Lord, we beseech thee, the sins of his youth, nor of his ignorance. But according to thy great mercy, be mindful of him in the greatness of thy glory. Delicta juventutis, et ignorantius eius, quae sumus de mene meris domine, sed secundum magnum misericordiam tuam memoris filius. Acapulco. It was almost midnight, that solemn moment just before the new year. I stood alone at the bar, having no one to drink with and no patient to take care of, thinking, well, you may very well know what I'd be thinking of that New Year's Eve. And then something happened.
Senor, be more careful, yes?
Careful?
Well, you break the glasses on the bar.
Well, I didn't touch those glasses.
No? Then who, eh?
I looked at the bar, at the shattered remains of two broken cocktail glasses, stem over stem, forming the letter X.
Senor, if you did not break those two glasses, who did? There is no one else here.
That's where you're wrong.
Senor?
Very wrong, indeed.
Next week, another great star brings an outstanding performance to the Screen Director's Playhouse. Our story is Magic Town, and recreating his original role will be Jimmy Stewart. And good night to you, Tay Garnett and William Powell. One-Way Passage was presented through the courtesy of Warner Brothers, producers of the Technicolor comedy The Inspector General, starring Danny Kaye. William Powell appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the Technicolor musical On the Town, starring Gene Kelly, Frank Sinatra, and Betty Garrett. Peggy Dow will soon be seen with Ida Lupino, Howard Duff, and Stephen McNally in Woman in Hiding, a Universal International picture. Tay Garnett is currently directing The Challenge, starring Mickey Rooney and Pat O'Brien. Included in tonight's cast were Peggy Dow as Joan, Stephen Dunn, Ted Von Eltz, John Daner, Don Diamond, and Frank Barton. One-Way Passage was adapted for radio by Milton Geiger, and original music was composed and conducted by William Lava. Screen Director's Playhouse is produced by Howard Wiley, with dramatic direction by Bill Karn. This is Jimmy Wallington speaking and inviting you to listen again next week, 1 hour earlier, when we present for RCA Victor...
Screen Director's Playhouse, star Jimmy Stewart, production Magic Town, director William Wellman...
Oh,
Oh, yes. Nothing like a good cry, huh?
Dale, that car's
not
perfect
feeling
music.
Good.
This would even be the perfect music for the moral I have for this story.
Oh, wait. We have to do it right.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do. Sadly, truly sadly, Your House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
With apologies to Gar. Great love, as this movie shows, can kill you, but then so can the electric chair. There you go.
That was shocking. I got a charge out of it.
And a new hairdo.
Yeah, this is a current joke. I'm sorry.
Wow, I set you up. You're welcome.
Yeah, these truly are sad jokes. You just keep hitting them up, and I'll keep hitting them out of the park. What is that with Foghorn Leghorn?
Foghorn Leghorn, yeah, but I say, you keep on lining them up, I'll keep on hitting them out. There you go.
There you go.
Oh, my.
Well, before it gets any sadder around here, we do have one more, since you were good.
We do. They're always good, Dale. They're always good.
They
you
are.
Know what? You know, actually, William Powell tried his hand once at producing, as he produced a Broadway play called Revolt in 1928, written by Harry Wagstaff Gribble, and it flopped. He didn't try to produce after that.
Well. We've got one more. This one, again. I need to be quiet. The senator was indiscreet.
Yes.
Is our next presentation. An adaptation, of course, of another William Powell film, Our Birthday Boy. The movie was from 1947, in which he plays the title role of Senator Melvin G. Ashton.
You said it. So I don't have
Did
to. You? Oh, I guess I have to look up the date, though, don't I? The date
for the radio production,
is,
yes, if you would be so kind, good sir.
It was from, wow, all three of these from 49. This one was from October 3rd of 1949.
From Hollywood, the National Broadcasting Company presents... Screen Directors Playhouse. Production, The Senator Was Indiscreet, star William Powell. Each week at this new time, the Hollywood Screen Directors will bring you the finest adaptations of your favorite motion picture entertainment, together with the stars who created the original roles. Now tonight's story. For the first time on the air, we present the film comedy, The Senator Was Indiscreet, starring William Powell as Senator Ashton with Peggy Dow as Poppy McNaughton. Any similarity between this story and a coincidence is purely comical. For we all know that in these United States, there is no such thing as a tub-thumping, hand-pumping, baby-kissing politician. Nevertheless, Senator Melvin Gassaway Ashton has left Washington to descend upon New York, where even now he takes his regal ease in his hotel room and records the fact in his diary.
Perhaps this is the beginning of the campaign that will see me in the White House.
Oh, to be the leader of this proud nation and make $100,000 a year.
Come in.
Hiya, Mel.
Oh, it's you, Lou.
Senator, don't ever say that Lou Gibson isn't the greatest publicity man since the guy who promoted hash. You know what I got outside?
Well, if it's constituent, my boy, I'll make a speech.
My friends?
Save it. I got a crew of newsreel cameramen and three, count 'em, three full-blooded Indians.
Oh, my boy, how can I thank you?
Okay, fellas, start setting up. Okay, okay,
won't Mama be pleased when she hears about this?
Here they are, Senator. Three full-blooded Indians gonna make you a member of their savage tribe. Say hello, Senator.
How? Hiya, Senator.
What's new in Washington?
Where's the washroom?
Me bring 'em greetings from Great White Father.
Hey, can a member of the press intrude?
Poppy, darling, come on in. Senator, meet Miss Poppy McNaughton, the best newspaper gal in town.
Welcome, my child, welcome.
Thank you, Senator. I'm here to ask about that new bill you've introduced, the McCoy-Keefe Ashton bill.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, that bill, my dear, is designed for the protection of man's most faithful servant.
Oh, yes, the Maytag washing machine.
I mean, the letter carrier. Why is the letter carrier weary at the end of the day?
Because he's tired.
Because he's been trudging the hard pavements with a load too heavy for man to bear. And that is where my bill comes in. The McCoy-Keefe Ashton bill will compel every man, woman, and child in this fair land to write his letters on tissue paper.
Oh, I see. Lou, could I speak to you outside for a minute, please?
Sure, honey. You talk to the cameraman, Senator.
Oh, thank you, my boy. My friends of the motion picture industry...
Well, Poppy, isn't he a beaut?
Lou, you're not pumping up that windbag for president.
Look, I'm a press agent. If I can promote Ashton, I'll be in the big time. Then we'll be able to get married.
Oh, those are very tough turns.
Oh, Poppy, give Ashton a break in your column. Don't be difficult.
I won't. I'll be impossible.
How?
I'm just going to quote him accurately. That's how.
Oh, that's dirty journalism. You can't quote politicians accurately.
You just watch me. See you tonight, publicity man.
Tonight it is. Okay, boys, ready with the newsreel?
Anytime.
Problem. Okay, Senator, you're on.
From Great White Father in Washington, I bring message to Red Man. My Manitou, may Manitou give you much rain.
How?
How?
Much good hunting.
How?
How?
Many fine squaws.
And how?
Okay, Hiawatha, that does it. Let's go, boys.
Well, Lou, how did you write your...
Uh-oh. What's the matter?
Look, standing over there. When did he come in?
Huh? Oh, brother, Fred Houlihan, the boss of the party.
Oh, well, hello, Fred.
Hello, Senator. Well, many ha-ha, what are you trying to pull?
Oh, just a little stunt, Fred. Lou Gibson dreamt it up.
Oh, he did. Mel, don't you know that having a picture taken with an Indian automatically makes you a candidate for president?
Well,
you don't
now,
mind,
now,
I think
now,
I'll go back
don't,
to my office.
Don't be angry, Fred.
Mel, the party wouldn't back you for president if you were George Washington's mother. You couldn't win. Now, what about this speech I hear you're making to the National Institute of Businessmen tonight? We didn't authorize that either.
Well, but they asked me.
Yes, I'll bet. Well, let's see the speech.
It's the old number 5.
Uh-huh. Isn't that the one you delivered in Detroit on December 6, 1941?
Well, I had the honor, yes.
Isn't it about time you cut out that part where you laugh at the possibility of war with Japan?
Oh, excuse me. United States Senator Melvin G. Ashton speaking. Washington? Yes, yes, put it through.
It's Mama.
Yes, all right, I'm leaving. But remember, Mel, forget the White House. I'll see you later.
Goodbye, Fred. Hello? Hello? Mama? Yes, yes, everything's fine, Mama. The White House? Oh, no, Mama. I'm not going to be president. No, I guess you won't be able to tear down that new balcony. Yes, oh, yes, Mama. I'm writing everything down in my diary. See, you know what, Mama? I'm an Indian now. Yes, member of a tribe. What?
Oh, no, Mama, don't worry. I won't let them lay a hand on your new hairdo. Yes, Mama. Yes, Mama.
Mr. Gibson, there's a Miss Valerie Shepherd to see you.
Shepherd? Look, I'm very busy. What does she look like? Oh, well, send her right in.
Mr. Gibson?
Well, what can I do for you?
Well, you remember Bill Fisher from Plainville, don't you?
Why, of course.
Well, Bill said to say hello, and he thought with your connections you might help me get a room here in a hotel.
A hotel room it is. How is Bill, the old paratrooper? Did he ever get into politics?
Oh, in a small way.
That was always Bill's big beef, politics. In the Army, he always said he'd clean out the crooks and clowns. Oh, by the way, the senator from ye old home state is staying right here in the hotel.
Senator Ashton?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I just love to meet him.
Oh, lady, you've met me. Let's not push our luck. And if you're a good girl, I'll take you to hear Senator Ashton tonight. Big speech for big businessmen. You'll love it.
And in conclusion, may I say, it is with pride and humility that I have been permitted to serve this proud republic, this brightest jewel in the diadem of nations. And now, if there are any questions, I should be glad to answer them. Frankly, completely, and to the best of my humble ability.
Great news story you're getting, huh, Poppy?
Yeah, the Senator's run the gamut from tedium to monotony.
Miss Shepherd seems to be enjoying it.
Oh, I think he's just grand.
Uh-oh, watch this. I planted the note that's being handed to old Wooden Shoes.
Where? What's this? A note? Well, yes, and a very embarrassing note it is. I must confess, I didn't expect such a question. But I shall answer it with the same candor in which it is asked. Senator Ashton, if the nomination for president were offered to you, would you accept? My friends, as you all know, I am a simple, God-fearing, plain-talking man. So I say to you, and I cannot put this too strongly, I am not a candidate for the presidency. But if the voice of the people of these United States, this brightest jewel in the diadem of mankind, should ring out over the land and say, come, then I can only bow my head to the inevitable and say in all humility, I will.
Ashton, you ungrateful dog.
Oh, boss, come in. I was just going to bed.
Why, you idiot. What do you mean saying you're not a candidate for the nomination?
But, Fred...
No member of the party has the right to deny that he's a candidate unless he is one.
Oh, well... Well, maybe I am, Fred.
On what qualifications?
All the qualifications. They're written here in this newspaper clipping.
Nah, you're crazy.
Well, look, this is what an editorial writer says. First, the candidate should have been born in lowly circumstances.
Were you born in a log cabin?
No, but our roof leaked a little.
Go on.
Second, he should have a family. Well, I've got 3 fine sons and 4 splendid daughters.
Holy Ike, you have 7 secretaries?
Yes. Well, the third point is that the candidate should have a dog. I have a dog, Fred. I hate the sight of him, but I have one. Fourth,
you can stop right there. I happen to be boss of this party, and I'm telling you straight, you are not going to be president.
Well, then, Fred, I have something to tell you.
Well?
I keep a diary. I have for 35 years.
Well, that makes you about the oldest high school girl in America. What do you put in it?
Everything.
Well, that's... Everything?
Everything.
But not everything, Mel.
In detail.
Not the incident in Boston.
Yes, and the one in Detroit, too. And St. Louis.
Oh, you bucket-brained lunatic. Where's that diary?
No use, Fred. I'm keeping it.
If that stuff gets out, they can beat us with breathless groggins.
You're wasting your breath, Fred.
What do you mean?
You know, Fred, owning a nice little diary is like owning a nice little atom bomb. Even if you never do anything with it, it's a comfort just to know it's there. I'll see you in the White House, Fred.
You are listening to the Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of The Senator Was Indiscreet, starring William Powell with Peggy Dow.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly how politics is done.
Yeah, but you're getting one up on William Conrad. You got to be careful. He might sit on you or something. I don't know.
Was that Paul Frees?
No, that was William Conrad. That was William Conrad.
Really?
Good old Matt Dillon.
Boy. It sounded a bit like, the
it
same...
It did sound a bit like him.
Voice.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because they both... a lot of times would interchange doing the opening for Escape, tired of the everyday life. That was interchanged a lot between William Conrad and Paul Frees. And part of the reason is because in some ways they were interchangeable, but Paul Frees had certainly a much larger range than William Conrad had. But
both were amazing voices.
Absolutely.
And we might as well, our final segment tonight, as we're going to wrap up The Senator Was Indiscreet. This one's got elements of comedy in it.
It does. This is a lot of fun. Yep. And a lot of fun. And again, I'm gaining more respect for William Powell as we go on throughout the night, Dale.
Oh, yeah. He starred with Myrna Loy, as you know, in many pictures, including The Great Ziegfeld.
Yes.
It was the best picture of 1936, and he was in the title role with Myrna Loy playing Billy Burke, who was Ziegfeld's wife.
Ah.
Yep. That was the same year he got an Academy Award for the comedy we're playing tomorrow night for Lux Radio Theater, My Man Godfrey.
Yep, and being a Lux Radio Theater, it's a full one-hour production, probably at least 45 to 48 minutes of the actual story with both Carol Lombard and with William Powell. So you definitely want to tune in tomorrow night for that.
Yeah, that one's a zany, kind of a fun comedy, a love story. It's a good time. I enjoyed the heck out of the film, having seen it for the first time just a few months ago. And somehow inspired Dave to do William Powell night since his birthday was coming up. And here we are.
Yep. Here we are.
Wrapping
up. William Powell Radio Drive-In.
And we're wrapping up the final reel. The Senator Was Indiscreet. Part two.
And to complete our political news roundup, Senator Melvin Gastaway Ashton left today on a speaking tour of the nation. The senator is not a candidate for the nomination and is understood to be making the tour because he likes to undress in Pullman berths. Savannah, Georgia. Senator Melvin Gastaway Ashton spoke here today saying,
"It's so, folks. My old grandma was born and bred right here in old Georgia. The brightest jewel in the diadem of American states. Now I want the band to strike up the beloved anthem of this sovereign state, and I want you all to rise as it plays Marching Through Georgia."
Houston, Texas. In a political speech here today, Senator Melvin Gastaway Ashton said,
"Yes, partners, my old grandma, bless her heart, was born and bred right here in the great state of Texas. And if I'm elected, I promise you that within 60 days, you'll have your independence from Mexico."
Please pass the biscuits.
Kansas City, Missouri. As always, Senator Ashton has again faced an issue squarely.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am not for inflation. I am not for deflation. But ladies and gentlemen, I am wholeheartedly for inflation.
New York City. The surprise of the week has been Senator Melvin Ashton's wildcat raid on the political scene, which has more than doubled his popularity. The senator returned to New York today after a triumphant swing through the South and Southwest.
Well, it's been some trip, huh, Senator Ashton?
Oh, fine, fine, my boy. Except for one thing.
What's that?
That young newspaper woman friend of yours, Miss McNaughton.
Huh?
Why does she insist upon referring to me in her column as Senator Ashcan?
Look, she's lousing up my campaign, too. I'm in love with her.
Lou.
Hmm?
What about me buying her a nice little present this afternoon? Something costly.
Nah, it's no use. It's like trying to bribe Dick Tracy. Come in.
Hello, Lou.
Hello, Valerie. Heard from Bill Fisher lately?
Uh-huh. I had a letter today.
Well, how is Bill?
Just dandy.
Yeah? Here, I want you to meet the Mahatma. Senator Ashton, this is a constituent, Miss Valerie Shepherd.
Well, well, well. A sweet little flower from my own woodland.
Senator, the first vote I ever cast, I cast for you.
Ah, the madness of youth.
Over here, sit down. Sit down, my dear, sit down.
Holy cow, look at the time. I got a date with Poppy. Pardon me, folks, while I further our public and private relations. Tell me, Poppy, oh mystic one, look deep into your martini and tell me what the future holds in store.
I'm looking.
What do you see?
One dyspeptic-looking olive.
That's my future?
And I hope you choke on it, Lou Gibson.
Oh, Poppy, why don't you forget Ashton for a few minutes?
I'm going to find some way to break up that clown's act if I have to commit grand larceny.
What about us? What about our marriage?
Look into your drink, old mystic one, and tell me what the future holds in store.
One pickled onion.
And that, pet, is just about the size of it. Not one hair of this golden head shall you touch until Melvin G. Ashton gets dumped on his senatorial kisser. And that, believe me, won't be too long.
Hello, Mel.
Ah, Lou, my boy.
Where's Valerie?
Oh, she left. And I had some shopping to do. A little gift for Poppy McNaughton, Lou.
Yeah?
Yes. Right here in the drawer. A solid gold mesh bag. Never was a woman who could resist one. It's, Lou.
What's the matter?
Why, it's gone.
What's gone?
The diary. It's gone.
What diary?
The record of my political career, of the party's activities.
Oh, no. If that hits the newspapers.
Oh, my.
Larceny. She said she'd commit larceny.
Who?
Poppy. You wait here. I got an idea.
Oh, Lou. Lou, I'm ruined. Ruined.
Now, Senator, don't get hysterical. Now, just stay calm. Calm. Hello, Mr. Houlihan. Mr. Kelly.
Hello, Lou.
Hello, Gibson.
I'll check with you, Mel.
Fred, something terrible has happened.
Mel, don't you know what you've done? Your popularity is zoomed, and the party wants to nominate you for President of the United States.
Oh, but Fred, the diary.
Forget the diary. What about the diary?
It's gone. Stolen.
Why, I ought to break every bone in your stupid body. Joe.
Yeah, boss?
Get on the phone. Put Plan A into action. It's a yellow alert.
You think we'll need the red alert?
I don't know yet.
What's the red alert?
That's when they're coming after you with ropes.
Give me Preston 96161.
Well, Ashton, you've really done it this time.
Hello, Theodore. This is you-know-who. Theodore, I want you to contact certain parties and tell them to pack and stand by for a red alert. Red alert. Ready? Honest John McCaffrey in Boston. Honest John Brancuso in Philadelphia. Honest John Ginsburg in Albany. Honest John Frostman in...
Use your head. If I had the diary, it would already be in print. This is a newspaper, you
Come
know.
Come on, Poppy. Stop stalling.
So help me, Lou. I haven't got the diary.
Yeah, probably some other conniving woman. Only a woman could be low enough to pull a trick like this.
What about that corn-fed Theta Barra? That Valerie gal?
Valerie? No, she's just a friend of a friend of mine, Bill Fisher. He's not the kind of a guy who... Oh, Mother, how could you raise such a stupid child?
Idea?
But Bill's an old Ashton hater from way back. And that girl shows up just when... Come on, we gotta find Valerie.
Honest John Vincent in Oklahoma City and Honest John Fair in San Francisco and 5% Harrigan in St. Louis. Now, you got that, Theodore? Right. And look, Theodore, there are no extradition treaties between the United States and the following countries. Outer Mongolia, Greenland, Lower Slavovia, and Little America. The planes leave for Tibet from San Francisco daily at 1:20 a.m. Planes from Mexico
now,
leave...
Oh, yes, Fred.
I'm afraid I have a very unpleasant duty to perform.
Now look, Fred.
It's no use. You've got to resign from the Senate.
Resign? But what about my family?
They'll have to resign, too.
But how are we going to live?
Off your interest on your capital.
What capital?
What capital? You've been in politics for 35 years and you haven't any capital?
How could I have, Fred? How did I know that income tax bill I introduced meant me, too?
Well, you'll have to go to work.
Work? But, Fred, I'm a senator.
Well, you've got to stop being a senator.
Oh, no, Fred. No. Either the party figures out a way for me to make a living, or I won't resign.
Hey, they need a dog catcher in Peoria.
Oh, that's out.
No, wait a minute. I've got it. You can be a sports czar, like in baseball.
Well?
The duties will be relatively simple, Senator. 3 hours work, 1 day a week.
Oh, never mind the duties. What's the pay?
Oh, around $150,000.
$150,000? Why, say, that's more than president. Hello? Hello, Mama? Mama? You know what? I'm not going to be a president. I'm going to be a czar. Yes, but Mama... No, Mama, you won't have to drink vodka. $150,000 a year, Mama. Yes, Mama. Yes, Mama.
Okay, Poppy, here's Valerie's room.
She must have the diary.
Why, Lou and Miss McNaughton.
All packed and ready to leave town.
Is something wrong?
Sister, something is very wrong.
Huh?
Hold her, Lou. I'll check her bag.
Oh, no. No, you can't do that.
We're doing it. I should have known that Bill Fisher sent you down to fish for something to pin on Ashton.
No. Here's a diary.
Oh, let's have it.
Oh, no, you don't. It's mine now.
Oh, Poppy, you double-crossing heel.
You stay away from me. You wouldn't hit a woman.
Give me that diary.
Oh, no. Let go of me, Lou.
Hello? Oh, hello, Lou. Oh, I see. Well, all right.
Well, who was that?
Lou Gibson. He's got the diary back.
Wow, you've done it again, boss.
Yes, Mel, laugh. Be happy. You can be president now.
Yeah, but how can I afford it? I've just taken a $50,000 cut in salary.
Oh, but Mel, they give you a house to live in, and on rainy days you can show your own movies in the White House projection room.
Cowboy pictures?
Yeah. Hopalong Cassidy.
Oh, boy. All right, I'll take it.
Good old Mel, I knew you wouldn't let us down.
But I better call Mama.
Oh, I'll get that. Lou, where's the diary? Have you got it?
I got it, all right.
Shh. I'm talking to Mama. Hello, Mama? Well, Mama, I'm not going to be a czar. No, I've decided to become president. Yes, Yes, I know. It's only $100,000 a year, Mama, but it's the best I can do. And besides, think of the fishing. Yes, Mama. Yes, Mama.
Do I understand that Lemonhead is really going to be president?
Yes, now that you got the diary.
I haven't got the diary.
You haven't? But you said that
just a minute, Mama.
The diary will shortly be in the possession of one Poppy McNaughton, a member of the Fourth Estate.
The newspapers?
Yeah, it'll be in the front page in an hour. So long, boys.
Joe! Mel, start moving. The alert just turned red.
I'll give the alarm.
Come on, Joe. Let's get out of here.
Hello? Mama? I'm not going to be president after all. Hey, you better start packing, Mama. Yes, we're taking a trip to Outer Mongolia. Outer Mongolia, Mama. Proudest jewel in the diadem of Asia. People vote there, Mama. And if I hear their call, if they should say to me, Melvin G. Ashton, come, then I'll listen, Mama. Oh, don't worry, Mama. We'll make it yet. Yes, Mama. Yes, Mama.
William Powell will return in just a moment. Here's a reminder to tune in again next week when, for the first time on the air, you'll hear the exciting drama Crisscross, starring Burt Lancaster in his original role.
Good night.
And good night to you, William Powell and George Marshall. The Senator Was in the Street is a Natalie Johnson production presented through the courtesy of Universal International Studios, now releasing Sword in the Desert, starring Dana Andrews, Marta Torrin, and Stephen McNally. William Powell appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Red Danube, starring Walter Pidgeon, Ethel Barrymore, and Peter Lawford. Peggy Dow will soon be seen in the Universal International picture The Big Frame, also starring Scott Brady, John Russell, and Dorothy Hart. George Marshall's latest production for Paramount is Fancy Pants, starring Bob Hope and Lucille Ball. Included in tonight's cast were Paul Frees, Bill Conrad, Gene Bates, Jay Novello, Ed Max, Rita Lyons, Jack Cruchon, and Dan Ritz. The Senator Was in the Street was adapted for radio by Richard Allen Simmons, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Screen Director's Playhouse is produced by Howard Wiley, with dramatic direction by Bill Karn. This is Jimmy Wallington speaking and inviting you to listen again next week when we present...
Screen Director's Playhouse, production Chris Cross, star Burt Lancaster, director Robert C. Altmack.
I do apologize to you, Dale, because we were listening to different characters. I was listening to the political consultant,
yep.
And you were listening to the reporter guy, I guess. And so they
yes.
were both there. We were both right.
I was attuned quite well to Mr. Freeze's voice because this week Pluto TV is running the 1953 version of War of the Worlds film. In which Paul Frees plays a small role as something he did well
the radio
in
announcer,
real
isn't he?
Life. He's in a radio announcer, exactly.
Yep. Since you guys
yep.
are fans of the old-time movies, I presume you know that William Powell's ex-wife was Clark Gable's wife.
Yes. And after he divorced
Carol Lombard.
After he divorced Carol yeah. Lombard, that's when Clark Gable married her. But, you know, what's funny is they were both in a stage production together. So mm-hmm. that's probably where they met, is on stage working a play together.
Yeah, yeah.
And who's joining
Carol
us
Lombard,
today here on who's joining us here on the show?
My name is Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah. Hi, Joe.
How you guys doing?
Welcome to Erie House. Hey,
right.
Thanks for joining in.
Sure.
Are you a big 1940s William Powell?
Powell? No, I'm not a big William Powell fan. I'm a big Thin Man fan, but not William Powell per se.
Okay.
You know.
That's fair. That's fair. He was certainly great in that. Which was your favorite Thin Man movie?
Favorite one?
Yeah.
Don't have one. I don't remember any of the names. I just know that he and Myrna Loy, they had chemistry, even though Myrna Loy was kind of like cold and stiff. they still had chemistry together. And William Powell had wry sense of humor. Yeah, he had a nice wry sense of humor. So they worked well together. I thought the casting director, has to be given a medal, because I never would have thought that William Powell and Myrna Loy would actually work together that well.
Yeah, that's true. Probably my favorite one would have been The Thin Man Goes Home. It's one time when he didn't play a drunkard because he was around his parents. But he and Myrna Loy were so identified as a married couple that when traveling together, they often had to specifically request separate hotel rooms from mistaken desk clerks. They always tried to throw them in to the same room because, of course, they were that great couple.
Oh yeah, they were
so
right. And during that time, they had the movies had it wasn't censorship, but they had a standard, and if you were married, you couldn't be in the same bedroom together. If you were, the beds had to be about a few feet apart. I think
One foot on the floor.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, what's always amazed me, and especially in recent years, is that the 1940s, that was a time when we were at war and the world was being threatened by Hitler, Mussolini, and by Stalin. Yet, just about every movie, regardless of whether it was by Fox or Columbia or Warner Brothers, they always had an upbeat to it, even if it was about intrigue and danger. It just portrayed an upbeat time.
Over in England, where they were really getting beat up, they weren't allowed to do horror movies unless there was a lot of comedy involved, because London would not allow horror movies. With all the crap they were going through and the blitzkrieging and all that, they were not allowed to actually release just a plain straight horror movie during the war.
And even afterwards, for years afterwards, England was very strict with horror films. I remember that they had their, darkest rating was Certificate X, comparable to X in the United States during the 60s and 70s. But films like The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, Jason and the Argonauts were considered so terrifying, they were Certificate X when first released in England in the 50s.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yeah, they thought it was too terrifying. Yet they were far more open with nudity than the United States. Odd.
Yes, they were. Mm-hmm. Well, violence, they accepted nudity, but violence, like Starsky and Hutch, was something that they couldn't put up with.
Yeah.
Starsky and Hutch.
You're kidding me. Really?
Yeah.
You mean
they had
and trouble Hutch
with... Right.
No kidding. If they were seen over in England, they had problems with that?
How'd
they
feel about
problems starting seeing Hutch.
Wow.
But yeah, so, but sex was all right.
Yeah. Go figure. Mm-hmm. Go figure. Yeah, we were talking about, films when they were self-governing, and that was the Hays Code. Very much like comic books experienced in the 50s with the... with the attack on comic books, they decided to self-govern, hence the Comics Code of Approval. Well, the movie industry went through that in the 30s. There's that pre-code era before the Hays Code, as CW pointed out in our chat.
Hmm. Yeah. So, we have a guest here. We should let him step up and spin the good old wheel of radio.
Let him. Let's make him.
Are you familiar with that, Joe?
No, I'm not.
Are you familiar?
But I'm
okay.
Game.
Well, wheel of
I'm game.
We have a virtual wheel.
Okay, well, wheel of radio. It's a big spinning wheel, and you we'll ask you to step up to it and give it a good tug. And one of the prizes on there will be a radio clip of some type.
Yep.
Okay. All right,
so
here I go.
Up to the wheel.
Stepping up.
Okay.
All right. I got my hand on the wheel. Wait a
minute. Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Stick around, Joe.
All right.
applause, please. I'm not here as an actor. I'm here as a barrister. Mm-hmm. My card, Crosby. Read it and give it back. I don't want to spoil the deck.
Hey, quite a law firm you have here. Mulholland, Crenshaw, Adams, Fairfax, Wilshire, and La Cienega. Where do you come in?
Between Melrose and Franklin on the streetcar.
Where's your office?
On the streetcar I came up here on. And if you think having a motorman for a secretary is any fun, you just try it sometime. Couldn't even get him to take off his gloves. Now, let's get down to business, Crosby. My client, Miss Wartcruncher, is suing you for $50,000.
Now, wait a minute.
All right, we'll settle for $40,000.
$40,000?
You haven't got it on you. I have the wrong Crosby, and I understand there is a wrong Crosby.
104% right. You must mean Brother Everett, but Groucho...
I don't mean Gummo.
Before I part with this kind of tin, don't you think it would be... All right, or would you consider me impertinent? Would you? This is quite a word here. Impertinent.
You want to shorten it down and try a different way?
I'm doing a small Durante on this word. Would I be impertinent if I ask you why?
Very well, but only one question to a defendant. That took care of my answer. Now answer this. Now answer this question. Did you or did you not drive recklessly down Hollywood Boulevard on your way to the studio this afternoon?
No, I drove very cautiously down Sunset.
42 paid witnesses can't be wrong. You came down Hollywood Boulevard, and when you turned onto Vine Street, you splashed mud all over my client.
Mud? Where would you get mud on Vine Street?
I get it from a fellow who's got a dirty mind. Never mind where I get my mud, and you were driving recklessly.
What was I driving?
It was either a Cadillac convertible or a Philco console. But that's not important.
You don't know my sponsor.
I don't know any sponsor, and if I did, I'd have a show of my own. Phil Harris has two shows. What have I got? An office on a streetcar and a bucket full of mud.
I don't want to get entangled in any litigation here, so produce your client. If she can identify me, I'll be glad to make reparations. But frankly, I don't think she has a leg to stand on.
Frankly, I don't know. I've never seen her in a short dress. Oh, Miss Crunchwattle.
The name? The name is Wartcruncher, Mr. Giesler.
Did you tell her you were Jerry Giesler?
Get a much bigger fee that way. Yeah? And if you keep your mouth shut and pay off, I'll split it with you, Crosby. Now, Miss Wartcruncher, what's your first name?
Lana.
Lana? Lana, what hollow mockery. Is Crosby here the man who splashed you?
Yes, that's the man. He was wearing a gray Homburg hat, a frock coat, an ascot tie, striped trousers, and spats.
Boy, have you got the wrong man.
Don't be too sure. Now, Lana, when this man passed you in his car, was he also wearing a diamond stick pin?
I'm not sure. About that time, if you remember, you hit me in the face with the mud.
This entire case is a fraud. If I were wearing a frock coat and spats on Vine Street, I'd have them on now, wouldn't I?
Not necessarily. I was wearing a nightgown last night, but I haven't got it on now.
It's a matter of opinion.
You threw your suit away so you couldn't be identified.
I did not.
Then why are you standing there in your underwear?
Not my underwear. I bought it from Ma Perkins.
Must be mighty breezy right now around the old gal, huh?
Wait a minute. You can't even prove that this girl was standing on the corner.
Not only can I prove that she was standing there, but I'll prove that she was stamping her feet.
What is she stamping her feet for?
She was sending them to Sears Roebuck to get a new pair of shoes. How we fought over that joke, huh?
Wish I'd have won. If you'll dismiss the whole thing, I'll be glad to buy a new dress for this charming young lady.
Charming young lady? I'll lay you 8 to 5. She's none of the three.
What about my damages?
You've got enough damages. What you need is repairs.
All right, then. Shall we say $45, Groucho?
$45? That won't even keep me in saddle soap for my briefcase. Crosby, between you and Mother Nature, you've ruined this young girl's life. Huh? And this girl isn't Ingrid Bergman by a long shot. It's Speaking of long shots, Lanner, I'm afraid you'll never make the bridal pair.
Well, what about Lionel?
Lionel? Who's he?
The man she was betrothed to, she was going to marry this afternoon.
Ah, the plot thickens.
She was on her way downtown to get married. As a matter of fact, she was waiting for my office to come by.
For 20 years, I've been trying to trap Lionel.
Think of how this will sound in front of a jury, Crosby, if they're still awake. 20 years she waits to snag a man, and when she finally gets him cornered, you splash mud on her and he jilts her.
Oh, I'm a beast.
Speaking of beasts, let's get back to my client. 20 long years she waited for Lionel.
Well, where was he all that time?
He was in bed with a very bad haircut. He got mixed up in a clip joint. And now, because of you, this girl will have to spend the rest of her life sitting at home twiddling her thumbs. And there's nothing more disgusting than a pair of twiddle thumbs.
Hold on.
Like to see Skitch Henderson play the piano with twiddle thumbs. I'd like to see a Toby play that way. Come to think of it, I'd like to see a Toby. He owes me 20 smackers.
20 smackers. Well, now, that's a nice round figure, and that's just what I'm going to give you.
And that's just what I'm going to take.
Oh, no, you won't. You said we'd hook Crosby for plenty.
That's the trouble with you girls around Hollywood, framing celebrities. Splashing mud on your dress, hiring a cheap, shyster lawyer. Now go before I set the dogs on you. But before you go, I want to say one thing to you. You owe me 85 cents for the mud.
Hello, girl. Joe Marks, visiting with Bing Crosby.
I think it was from one of the command performance shows there.
Welcome back, Joe.
Hello, guys. Yeah, I never knew that Cosby and Groucho teamed up. I never thought Groucho was all that funny anyway. Without his brothers, he was mediocre. Even on his own show, he was to me. He wasn't one of the better comedians. As a matter of fact,
I have to confess, I like him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know what? A lot of people feel the same way about Bob Hope, and some people feel the same way about George Burns. You know, they're just classics, and, you know, they don't please everybody, but in their own right, they're certainly great performers.
True enough. And
they had an audience.
How'd you find us? How did you find Erie House?
Well, I was just driving by, and I heard the noise, and I figured, let me hear.
There was a sign that said, please come clean the bathroom, you know, and he said, well, okay.
Yeah. And I thought, what's this noise all about? And here, I figured, oh, listen to this.
You're the victim of a drive-by is what you're saying.
That's exactly right.
Oh, my.
I'm the one driving by.
That's right. Well, we got about 90 seconds left to remind everyone to join us tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern as we present Lux Radio Theater's adaptation of a great and funny film, My Man Godfrey, with William Powell and Carol Lombard.
One of my favorites.
Yep, come back tomorrow.
Well, you have to tune in again.
Yeah, if you can. Love to have you.
Oh, that was great. That was a great movie. Good, guys. All right, maybe I will drop by again. All right, so take it easy and enjoy the rest of your night, all right? Then you got then both of you have my condolences.
There you go. Take care, It's been a lot of fun, Joe. You're welcome anytime. Give us a call. We're always here every weekend. And there
and
he goes.
So is Vincent, isn't he?
Yeah, there we go.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Excellent timing this time, just about.
There you go.
Good night, folks. Go. There we go. Yeah, not that excellent, but...
No, actually, mine clicked off before yours did, I guess.
I had like a couple latent seconds there right after he puffed out the candle.
It sounded good. Hey, boy, that was a surprise.
Yeah. He was driving by. He's a wit, whoever he is. He's a wit.
He is, yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was neat. That's something that we don't get too often, so I'm glad that he, 605. Now I'm curious. Where is 605 area code?
That's
find out where Joe is from.
I think that's Oklahoma. Yeah. Land of Cowboy Kent.
Ah.
That's my boy, Cowboy Kent. Cowboy Kent.
Actually, South Dakota, looks like. South Dakota.
Well, I was close.
It was close. You're only like three states away. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well,
there's a lot of states there, man. A lot of states there.
My next life, I will pay attention in geography class.
Oh,
if it's a cell number, who knows? He could be from anywhere. It could be. One never knows these
days. You
got to
watch that digressing, you know. You get a lot of trouble digressing. Careful with that.
A lot of nice folks tonight, the usual gang of... suspects.
Usual gang and Joe calling. That was cool that he called in. That was neat.
See, we have listeners that we can't see.
Yep. And Joe would be one of them.
And lucky for them, they can't see us because it's radio.
That's right. Because we definitely have the faces for radio.
Yeah. Oh, me. Oh. It's been a rough 61 and a half years. Hey, you're going to be catching up pretty soon, don't you? Aren't you a fall birthday
guy? Yeah, I'm catching up in about 2 months here. Through September and October, that's when I'm catching up, yeah.
Yeah, and look at that. Just by chit-chatting a little bit, looks like we got at least one of our Halloween shows kind of planned. We keep coming up with more stuff. It's getting harder because we do a lot of Halloween shows.
But that will be a fun night.
I'm hoarding my vacation time so that I can spend it with you folks. And schedule lots of radio.
Lots of radio. Lots and lots of radio. We're doing pretty good in those numbers as well, and quickly heading to number 293 of our 1 hour version that we share with radio reading services. So that's kind of a fun thing there.
God bless them for listening too. Glad we can bring some suitable entertainment. Well, it'd be more suitable without us.
Well, man. I don't.
We
I don't
are
know
all
about
we have.
That, but we are.
We're stuck with us.
Hey, interesting array of stories tonight. I thought.
Yeah, it, definitely, Dave.
One that was definitely a pure comedy. Yeah, one that was definitely pure comedy. One that was comedic, and then one that was pure drama. So
yeah,
and melodrama at the same time. So you know, it's great. You know, I hope that people didn't forget to drive in to put the speakers back on the stands because you know that always leaves such a mess.
I'll go
every
check the
weekend
parking lot after
that.
The show and make sure that
okay.
And we'll get in touch with the insurance company if there any are missing. So it'll be all right.
All right. Okay. You know, as long as we're checking out there.
It's always worse when we give away the free beer. I mean, that's when. That's when we end up missing speakers.
Yeah.
And then the cops get mad at us for doing beer night at a drive-in.
Yeah. Well, they say, hey, they're not driving. They've driven in. They're not driving. They've driven in. So, you know, I can't help it if they've got in line more than once, you know.
Yeah, it's not our fault.
course, you got to buy, you know, two hot dogs to get the free beer, you know.
Well, yeah.
And some, you know, or a extra big, or an extra big popcorn, you know. Yep. Because, you know, hey, we got to make money somehow.
Yeah. Someday. I'm always six numbers away from telling everyone to go to hell. I'm joking, of course.
Yes. Yep, yep, yep.
Well, most people. But you know. levity. It's a good thing.
Levity.
Yep. Well, sir.
You know, even Mel Brooks, I just saw on Facebook, even Mel Brooks had said that how political correctness has ruined comedy. You know, because nothing that he ever did, he did maliciously. And a lot of it, you know, he did on the Jews because he himself is a Jew. So he was able to get away with it. But, you know, so much that he did back then, he could never do today.
No, we've touched on that a lot of times. I have, you know, fond memories of seeing Young Frankenstein. Blazing Saddles, of course, is probably one that today's audience struggles with. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because I don't think his humor was intended to be mean-spirited. Rather,
a spoof of people who
are do have bad feelings inside about other types of people than themselves.
Right.
And right. It's a shame. It's a shame.
So there you go.
There we go.
We've talked about it before. Yeah, it was the first time we've talked about it before. It was the first time I ever heard Mel Brooks actually come out with a statement about it. So,
well, it's about time he did. I mean, I don't know if today's young audience is even listening to him, and that in and of itself is a shame as well, because of his years of experience in comedy and his zany approach to just madcap humor. So a very unique, talented guy. No matter what you think of his humor, you cannot deny his genius, in my opinion.
Yep.
There, I said it.
And with that, no matter what you think of Groucho Marx, it is probably time for you to get upstairs to your puppy and to bring in the one and the only Schnauzola.
Good night, folks.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night. What for this sake but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Horrible up we the day, and it could think it do. Good night. Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
The hell is that?
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.